It is our 3-year podcasting anniversary.
Congratulations to you. You're the one who had this idea to even start podcasting. So I have to thank you for essentially doing 95% of the work.
But you're the one that truly started it, because I kept saying it, but you just came home with equipment one day.
Give you some background on Ellie. She's a go-getter, but things that involve her or her purchasing things, she'll do anything she can to procrastinate on it.
A frugal queen, if you will.
Definitely a frugal queen. So much so that I felt that this was important to her, or how this could be a really, really good hobby to get into. And I figured I might as well just get the equipment, do some research, get some introduction to, you know, Google basic stuff I need to podcast, and bought some of the cheaper gear, which was still really good. And then we had a start, essentially.
I can't believe it's been that long. Wild.
It's funny, over the 3 years, I think we switched up our audio setup maybe 3 or 4 times. I think we started with a Blue Yeti in like conference mode. I think one of the options is conference mode. So we were basically sitting in our guest room with a nightstand between us, the Blue Yeti elevated like on a box.
Yep.
And then we were just taking turns talking into the Blue Yeti. Then we upgraded to, I would say, like introduction to podcasting mics. And then we used them, which I don't know why we didn't do this earlier. We used them from our home office. So we have 2 desks in our home office right next to each other. So then we upgraded to that. And now we upgraded another time to the Shure microphones, which I really hope make somewhat of a difference.
For the cost, again, frugal. I hope you guys can tell that for this anniversary, a new computer was purchased and new microphones.
Even the microphone, Ellie is, she's not what we would, or what the general public might think of as an audiophile, but it really bugs her. Or some audio quality really bugs her, to a point where to me, I'm like, it sounds great. And Ellie's like, no, it sounds like shit.
Well, when you've been listening to the same clip for 2 hours, yeah, it drives you crazy.
And so one of my roles in this team is doing a lot of the research. So then I researched mics, all that to show that, to give you the journey over 3 years of us trying to increment over the months and years to try to improve our setup, improve the quality for all of the listeners at home.
For example, because I'm the one that edits, and so I hear everything. Right before we started, I said, don't breathe too hard.
That's such a tough gig, because I've done some editing for a few video projects for work. And it is true, hearing yourself might be the worst sound in the world.
Fully agree.
And I try to limit my editing time as much as humanly possible. But I think you critique a lot of the little things, right? You want to correct things. You want to make sure we sound on point, which I'm thankful for. But it does increase the editing time, which I can only imagine, like, hearing yourself for those long editing sessions must get pretty annoying.
Yeah. And you have like the good voice. And so no matter what, you sound fine. Even if back in the day we were on that shared Blue Yeti, but I can really tell when my voice is not on point. All of this to say, it's been a wonderful journey. Thank you so much for being here. To have anyone listen to anything we put out is like an honor. Like, I don't know how else to say it.
I remember when we first got started, we would look at the numbers of like downloads, and we would, obviously we still get excited for any click, listen, any download. I remember us looking at like 5 downloads and we're like, this is amazing. We have 5 downloads. 3 of those might be us, but it's still amazing.
And I'd be like, where are they from? What are these demographics?
I know. And it's so cool. We use Podbean, and again, we know, like, whatever, use whatever platform you want and works for you. But in Podbean's platform, they let you click on where your listeners are located, at least by country. So it's amazing to see as we have gotten a bigger user base or listener base, if you will, just to see so many countries that tune in, it's really amazing and remarkable that there are literally listeners all over the world.
I can't think about it too much.
Oh, likewise. No. Likewise.
To commemorate the 3 years, we'll do a little bit of a reintroduction in case we have new listeners, kind of how we met, how this all started, this being us, and then go into more podcast specific things, hope for the future. And then I totally forgot about a post I made, gosh, a year ago on Reddit, and I wanted to share the results with you all. So we'll get into that. But first, for reintroduction, should we go into our story first?
I think so. I think letting the people know our background, how we got together, maybe it gives you guys more insight on how our relationship works and our banter and our back and forth. And some comments I've seen a lot is like the respect we have for each other. At least that's what comes off of, which I'm thankful for.
Which is good, right?
For the listeners, yeah, that's really, really cool. Do you want to start it off? I feel like I'm a really bad storyteller for this specific story.
I just think we view it so differently.
I think we do.
Okay, we're going back in time, everyone. It is the first week of my sophomore year in high school, Leon's freshman year in high school. It's a nice warm morning in the Pacific Northwest.
There's no way it was warm.
It was, because this was like in September. There's like first no week.
Okay, maybe it was warm.
Then it quickly fades into the grayness. But in that time, it was a nice day. It is a morning period. I don't know which one, but you are in advanced art.
By the way, I don't know how I got into advanced art. How do you just place a freshman in advanced art?
I was also just placed. I had one freshman art class before. Go into the class. I don't have a ton of friends in the room, but I have like acquaintances. So I'm sitting at a table and I see Leon sitting by himself at the end of this table. We had pretty long tables. They were 6 to 8 people per big group.
It's funny. The only reason I sat there is because I was on a soccer team for the middle school, but then outside of the middle school, this is so funny. I'm talking about middle school because like I'm a freshman at this point, but I played for the school and I also played for a club team, but then there was essentially a teammate that was a grade or two above me that was in that art class. So I only sat there because he was there.
And I was sitting kind of on the opposite end at the table. And so I was with just this group of people I didn't really know, but we were talking and just being weird. They were weird. I was weird. I'm still weird. I just mask it better. But I was a really weird kid in school. And I kept trying to get Leon to join our conversations and would specifically ask him like, oh, what do you think? Or, you know, like, oh, what do you listen to? Or something, you know, like just trying to pull anything out of him. Also, you would never know this, but Leon is the shyest person on this planet. So there was essentially, he was just walling, like they're barely speaking a word to me.
I never thought of myself like that, but I think it's because I didn't know anyone in that setting besides my teammate. Mm-hmm. Whereas anytime I'm with my friends, it's obviously it's never like that.
Yeah. And then the weird girl keeps trying to talk to you. And the next day, this man never came back. He sat on the other side of the room, never sat with me again. And that was it. That was the first meeting. And I definitely noted that you did not sit next to me again.
Very soon after, my parents moved to almost like a suburb city, if you will, or a neighboring city.
But quite far, like 40 minutes.
When you don't have a car and you're young, that's far.
Yeah.
Like when you got to take the bus an hour and a half to get there, that's far. So we basically disconnected, did our own thing, obviously going to school, being a kid. And then I think I eventually got a cell phone, or like maybe MySpace was becoming a thing.
Both of those things are accurate. So we were MySpace friends somehow. I don't even know why, since we spoke a sentence to each other, but we were MySpace friends. And you had made a post saying, I got a new cell phone number, like hit me up if you want it.
Sure.
And as you do, I guess. I don't know why I had your old number. I have no idea how I got it. We like never talked. I don't know if it was through a mutual friend or what happened, but I had your old number and I was thinking like, well, maybe I'll need it one day. Like I have his old one, might as well get his new one. Messaged you and I don't think we ever stopped talking.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we started talking every single day. And mind you, I believe this was the following year of school.
Like, was years later. This was my senior year, junior year.
I wasn't a sophomore?
No.
Okay, yeah, so it was years later that all this happened.
I don't know how the universe made these paths cross again.
And then, you know, you eventually start talking and inevitably it's a positive conversation. So you're like, hey, we should like get together and like see each other or something in person.
And it's so appropriate that this is coming out right now because our first unofficial date was the Cinco de Mayo fair.
That is weird. That is actually really weird timing.
So that was our first unofficial date. And I remember talking to my sister-in-law and I was like, I'm hanging out with this guy, but like, do you call that a date? Like, is this a date? And she was like, I don't think anyone calls it like a date anymore. You're just hanging out with this guy. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's so funny too, because I thought I was hot shit because a lot of people our age, surprisingly, don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. Like they either have no money, they have parents that have money, so they tend to have money, or you have a job, so you have some money.
Yeah.
So I had a job. I worked at fast food. I worked at McDonald's, diehard McDonald's lifer, like forever. It's so weird. If any of you have kids that they're literally, get them a job at a fast food restaurant. They will learn so much about life, working with the team.
Working with difficult customers,
everything, customer service. It's honestly incredible. And I've seen commercials where it kind of says like kind of that storyline. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of us do think like all that's bullshit, but it really does teach you so much about the world. Yeah, super thankful. But I had some money. So at the Cinco de Mayo thing, I could at least do some things like, you know, buy tickets to do activities or like ride the, I don't even know if we rode the Ferris wheel. Maybe we did.
We did. Yeah. We rode the Ferris wheel. We played games.
So you could do stuff, right? Which is really fun. Not that you have to, right? You can do free stuff too. But that was, I felt, again, I call that hot shit, but that's being like super cocky. But like, no. Like, I felt good that I could treat, you know, my date like to a date. Like I felt good about that.
It was so sweet. And then we went out to a pita restaurant after. Had some dinner. It was a great day.
Yeah.
Very good day. And then officially you asked me out a couple weeks later. So I must have been not too weird at the hangout.
No, and then the rest was history. Just started dating. Eventually, you know, fall in love as you do when you're young. Should we speed through the rest of the story? Because that's really how we got started. I mean, the story is actually fairly interesting.
Yeah. So long story short, weird girl prevails in the end. Gets the cute guy. Gets the jock. So what is that? After high school, I go to college just locally. I mean, I started at community college, transferred to a university. You did military right immediately after high school.
Yeah. So I went to the Air Force, and I think it's really interesting how we synchronized on this so well, but because we kind of respected each other's journey so much, like you're going to, I think you were still in community college at this point.
Yep.
You're in community college, you're doing your thing, and you kind of have the plan of like, yeah, I'm going to go to university after my 2 years. Like, cool. And I was going into the military, doing the whole basic thing, strong relationship, but it's almost like we never really did the, or talked about like, what are we going to do after? Like, I think we knew we were too young to get married.
Oh yeah. And I was not interested in that at all at that age.
I don't even think that was ever a conversation.
No. We were way too young and we both knew we were too young.
Yeah. So like marriage never came up or, hey, you know, I'm in the military. You should really like follow me and like move in with me. But the thing there is like in the military, when you're in a lower rank, you don't get to live off base. Mm-hmm. You don't get to have an apartment. You're like, you're living on base in a dorm and you cannot, like, unless you're married, you cannot have a like partner like living with you. So that happens. I go to basic, I go to my training school, then I get my first assignment, and I get assigned to, like, I'm not going to say the name, but I get assigned to a super remote island. Island.
Very far away.
And I'm not talking Hawaii. I'm talking tiny. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, this is super far away. You're really close to your family. You have, like, nieces and nephews. Well, maybe just a nephew at this time.
I think just the so it's one, like, yeah.
And you had never, so again, different backgrounds. Like me, as a kid, I moved around a lot. You had never moved.
Never.
Same, like, home.
Parents still in the home, like, that I came home to from the hospital.
So completely different upbringings in that sense. And I don't know if I did this purposely, but I wasn't like, I'm not going to force her to move to this remote island. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like, you have school, there's family. It's probably more comfortable for you to be over there.
Well, a big factor in this is because you were there for 2 months and then bam, deployment orders. And so that wasn't even an option.
That was another thing, because initially, when you're like a young person in the military, you have your first assignment and it's overseas. For the most part, they're pretty much locked in as 2 years. And the fact that you went overseas, I'm pretty sure this is still a thing. Like, you have a very high precedence of what your follow-on base will be. So we figured, okay, I'll do the 2 year thing here. You're doing generals, like, you know, two year community college, all that good stuff. Essentially, almost, it's kind of lining up. At the end of those 2 years, I'll just get assigned the closest base back home. And, like, we can basically see each other, like, all the time. Like, exactly. Obviously, we're older, have a cars, so on and so forth. But I think I was at this base maybe just a couple months, and I got orders to be deployed. And I was like, holy shit, I just got here.
My heart sank as soon as you told me. I was like, you're already so far. We're in such different time zones, and now it's even worse.
And then I went on some jobs on base, the little island, so I was in almost like a IT role for the Air Force, so like working with like routers and switches and technology stuff. But I worked with a older sergeant. I believe he was a technical sergeant. Now, he was in the Air Force for, I think, at this point, and I remember us riding in the van together, I think like 10 or 12 years. And he told me, well, let me backtrack. I was basically wanting to get tips from anyone. So anyone that talked to me, I was like, yeah, I got orders to deploy to this place. Like, any tips? Like, have you been there? Like, just trying to share thoughts with people. So I let him know. And he's like, holy shit, you're deploying? I was like, and mind you, he's looking at like a 19-year-old. I was like, yeah. He's like, dude, I've been in for 12 years. I've never deployed. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I don't know how I got so lucky.
And then when you were deployed, it wasn't even for your job. Like, you got, were just like, here, do security. Here's a gun. Like, hang out.
It was almost like we were augmented police for our police force. Like, they had, because they had like, they had like a duty to secure the base, and we just helped them with like just basic security type jobs, like follow this person around or work some kind of like gate detail. Like, it just weird stuff like that. But
can you remind me, at this place, what is the coldest weather that you felt? Because I know it was super cold, but I cannot remember specifics.
You know, there's a love hate about that, because I'm sure if I went in spring, summer, it's really beautiful there.
I mean, the photos were still beautiful. Like, I love snow.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sure it's really beautiful there, but the fact that I went in winter, yes, it is extremely cold, but we were basically surrounded by a bunch of mountains, but I got to see, and mind you, we have mountains next to us, but like, we never go there. But in this case, you're literally like next, you're like at the mountains. You're like next to the mountains. So in this case, seeing mountains that big with snow was really incredible to see. But it was also the coldest temperature I've ever felt in my life. I think at one point they told us it was like negative 20, and I could not believe people live there.
Yeah. Crazy.
Like, you know, it's bad when you're deploying and you get like your standard issue gear, but then you get additional gear for like cold weather.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of gear. So that was the deployment. And then that ended, eventually came back stateside. It was weird.
You went to your island first and then back.
Yeah, finished off the time in the island for the 2 year mark. And again, because there's never, and mind you, during this time, I'm coming back like Christmases. I'm coming back for my birthday when I could.
Only twice a year at this point.
That's true. That's true.
And no. And then deployment time, I didn't see you for a year.
Yeah, that was weird. It's almost like I probably went for a birthday, deployed, and didn't come back for like another mm-hmm. like another birthday kind of thing. So yeah, that was like a year. And yeah, that was tough. But after doing that, I did get the stateside assignment. It was only a few states away. Mm-hmm. But again, we're still on this flow of we're used to long distance relationship at this point. We're doing good. We communicate. Skype was like a lifesaver at that time.
But coming back after that year, I felt I didn't know you. Like you came to the airport yeah. and I was like, okay, one, you're like super buff now because apparently all you did on this deployment was work out.
Like, and... Yeah, on deployments, like you're just working your 12s for 6 days a week and you're just, there's nothing else to do. You're just working out. That's yeah. all people
you
do.
You can't leave. You can't do anything.
And so we have this joke that you either get super fit, whether that's like long distance running, weightlifting, a combination of that, or you get super out of shape. Because when you're deployed, you literally get... They try to provide you with literally anything they can to keep your morale up, whether it's like energy drinks, access to video games, phone calls home, candy randomly. Like, you want 6 chicken breasts for lunch and dinner? Sure, here's 6 chicken breasts. Like, it's pretty amazing in that sense. But yeah, so I came back probably looking a bit different.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know this person. And it was just weird. It was, I don't know. It just was so strange to see you after that long.
And then I went to my stateside assignment. Again, you're like in university.
That's the thing. During this whole time, I was working full time. I was going yeah. to college full time. Yep. Like there was no time for anything else. I had no social life. There was nothing else. So like having Leon was awesome because it was like someone you love and that's there for you and is still providing you that emotional support. Even if we couldn't like physically go out or anything, but I had no time anyway.
Okay, so now we're back in the States. We get to see each other way more.
Like once a month, basically, is what we were doing at that point. Such an easy flight, like a 1 hour, hour and a half at most flight, like piece of cake.
And at this point, I am now not the bottom of the barrel rank and I can actually live off base.
Yeah,
that
was nice.
I can get an apartment. So it was so chill. Having Ellie just come whenever she could. And that was honestly, we got to a point where you finished school, you had a really good career. Then I got to the point of, well, do you really want to move out here? Like to this state, it's, or you'd only be here for like 18 months or so.
Not even that. What it came down to is, okay, we're all set. I have my career. You're still in right now. But your contract's about to be up.
Mm-hmm.
Am I moving out with you now and then we're going to move wherever they send us? Or are you getting out and we're moving home?
Yeah, so the initial contract was for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
6 years. And that was a really tough decision. And I think I went to the emotions most people go through when they're reaching the end of their first contract where you really are pulled both ways because, you know, the military, for me, it was a great experience. A lot of amazing benefits, a lot of amazing people. So you really are torn like, man, this is a really good life to live.
All the knee surgeries taken care of. Like, yeah, it was really yeah, for nice. Sure.
That insurance is amazing. But then the thought of going back home is so strong, that pull to be close to family, obviously your partner, the things you're comfortable with, right? That's your comfort zone is your home. So that was really tough. And Ellie gave me... really good advice on, you know, whether to be in or not be in. And I kind of knew from the very beginning that for me personally, it wasn't going to be a full 20-year thing. I was just kind of torn at that moment in time. But yeah, you know, I kind of realized like, yeah, it was going to be my time to go and move on.
Do you remember the conversation we had in the car, though?
I think I do.
You called me. We were both in our cars. I don't know why. You just got off work and I was like going to school because I had like a really weird schedule. I would go to a class in the morning at like 7:50 a.m. was first class. Then I would leave, go to work, and then I would come back for my last two classes. It was just a mess. And so a lot of the times would talk when our schedules can meet up. And you called and said, okay, I think I've decided to stay in. Like, I'll do another 4 to 6. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I told you I would follow you anywhere now. Like, we had our time. I have my degree. Like, I'm good. But I said, do not stay because you're comfortable. Do not sign so much of your life away just because you're comfortable right now. Don't be scared to take the step and see what civilian life is like.
Yeah, and I had a lot of mixed feelings there because it was comfortable. But the thing that really bugged me, like, we're not driven by money per se. Money's like the necessary evil. But the little con towards the military is like, no matter what duty you do and whatever training that might require, if you're the same rank, unless you're getting something like hazardous pay and stuff, you're all getting paid the same. Mm-hmm. Whereas realistically in the civilian world, depending on your role and just, you know, your duties, you're going to get paid differently, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the nature of the beast. So the career I was aiming towards just made more money being a civilian than if I stayed in. So it made a little bit more like being logical, it made more sense to just get out. And at the time, like, technology and IT in itself was just a lot of job opportunities, a lot of openings. Thankfully, when I started going down the road of separating, like, a good tip for any military members out there or spouses of military members, definitely have a plan and make sure folks, there's a training that they help you essentially when you know you're going to separate to get you prepared to be a civilian. Definitely take that training seriously. Like, I was up to the point where we had written a resume, we had submitted it to a bunch of different companies. Like, I was hired before I even got out of the military. Mm-hmm. And I just was honest with them. Like, hey, I'm in the service, I'm getting out. This is when I can be back in town. I'm probably going to take a month off. Is that okay? You know, for a start date. And they were super cool about it. And having that set up, it made everything about getting out of the military so easy.
Like, you were looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was so easy because I'm not, how am I going to pay my bills? How, you know, insurance, mm-hmm. how am I going to get, well, not only pay for insurance, but get health insurance, like all that stuff. Yeah, all these things crop up. Like, okay, I'm going to have to get an apartment now. I'm not getting housing money. Yeah. Now it's all on me. Having that taken care of, and obviously family to, like, as the backdrop of, like, hey, you can, like, stay with us for a while. Like, you mm-hmm. don't have to, like, rush into buying a thankfully. Home or getting an apartment or anything like that. So super thankful there. But having a job lined up, like you said, it was exciting. Not, again, appreciated the military, but it was exciting to be getting out, to go back home, because then you can kind of start imagining the next phase of your life and essentially our life together. It was, so anything I had to do, like, we have a checklist, I'm knocking all this shit out. Anything they require,
sign.
Yeah, sign here, sign there, go talk to that person. Yes, I'm doing everything. Like, let's go. We're planning the road trip. Like, we're literally getting excited for everything. And then, we end up...
We're skipping over basically the most important part.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So prior to you making the decision to separate, we then started seriously considering marriage. And mostly because it was essentially, do I want to be on military paperwork? Do I want the benefits? Just kind of everything that comes along with that prior to you separating. And so we were just thinking for a long time, and I didn't feel any need to. It's so funny. It was like 8 years, and we were like, is it rushing? Is this too much?
That is funny. There's little nuanced things that become available to a military spouse. And I just also felt that Ellie had supported me. Mind you got to remember, this is from like sophomore, junior year in high school. Like, literally been there the whole journey of signing, like talking to a recruiter, filling out paperwork, going to the military entrance program thing, or MEPS. I don't even know what the full acronym means. Like, military entry processing centers.
No.
something like that. Whatever. You guys can Google it. That whole, literally, like, Ellie was with me at MEPS when they're like processing you. It's wild. So there's this whole journey, long distance, Skype calls. Like, I'm replaying it all back in my mind. Deployment to now, it's almost like, I do want a record that this beautiful person was with me in this journey while I was in the military. So I want it, like, on record that they were my spouse. So we did get married.
Which I think the majority of our friends don't even know about this. I don't think we've ever even told anyone. Like, we didn't put it on social media or anything, but we got engaged. And then we were like, when do we officially do it? Do we want a big wedding? Do we not want a big wedding at all? And then we settled on, okay, we're not going to tell anyone but our immediate family, and we're going to elope.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up being the day is a random weekend. You could come home, and we had only our immediate family there, and we hiked to a beautiful viewpoint, and my dad married us, and it was perfect and beautiful. And I, to prep for this, I just like went to Macy's with my mom. I found a white, cute little summer dress, and that was it. I wore sneakers. I hiked up. I changed into heels for our ceremony and photos, and it was very sweet.
Yeah, we're trying to rush through it a little bit, but it was really a beautiful moment to share with the family.
Yeah. It was a really special day, and I was like, I was trying to downplay it a little bit because I didn't want, I really wanted to be the future big ceremony and party to like have a lot of significance as well. But it was so nice and so special. And it was so funny because my mom was like, you need a bouquet. And I was like, I don't need a bouquet. Like, it's fine. We're going to go up there and say sweet nothings and that's it. So I got to her house right before we all took off. And she was like, well, I made food for everyone after. And here's your bouquet. And I was like, okay, you're more put together than I am. So it was just such a nice day. And it's really funny because we celebrate like all anniversaries. We celebrate our first date.
Yep.
We celebrate our dating anniversary, which is 15 years this year.
Yep.
We celebrate the elopement, and we celebrate the big wedding and party we did have a year later.
Yeah, I think we value, Ellie and I tend to value experiences a lot more than things. Mm-hmm. Like, even when we celebrate like Christmas or birthdays, sometimes we'll say like, you know, what do you want? Like, give me an idea. And for the most part, both of us always say like, I want to do something.
Yeah.
So
we go somewhere.
Yeah, we go somewhere. We end up planning some kind of thing, whether it's going to the beach or just making memories really is the important thing there versus like having a thing. Because realistically, like, we're so comfortable in the way we live. Like, realistically, if we wanted something, like, we'll just get it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So that whole thing is not even a thing for us. We just want to have experiences. Okay, but then fast forward, get out, do the thing. We're civilians, or I'm a civilian. You, we're back together. Yes, eventually we do the whole wedding thing. It was amazing. The whole planning process, celebrating with more friends and family, mm-hmm. was incredible. And yeah, just living life.
Now I could never do long distance. Like, I'll never be able to do that again.
I can't believe you're leaving
for a 4-day work trip, and I'm like, what am I gonna do?
It is amazing. It really is amazing that it worked out, because already it's hard for couples that start dating at a young age, mm-hmm. but they're not even doing long distance. They're just like together. Yeah. It's so hard for them to make it. And I'm sure there's like some crazy study out there where they probably follow people like that. But the fact that we did that, did long distance for years, and then it still worked out and we're together, like, that's really incredible.
I have no idea how it worked, but it somehow did. So that's kind of the story on us. And now I work in medical research, Leon works in tech. Just kind of live in our own little bubble, our own little corner of the world.
Yeah, that was our love story, and picked up the hobby of podcasting and never looked back. It's been such an incredible journey. So it's funny, as we're talking about this in our story, like, Ellie's watching these shows, you know, long distance. She's probably either telling me about them or telling me like, you've got to watch this show. So then that kicks off something like Married at First Sight,
yeah.
or Sister Wives. Honestly, I think Sister Wives might've started like right before I left for the military.
Yeah.
I definitely made you watch it. For sure. That was so long ago. I can't even remember like how I, like, did we watch it together at first? And then I caught up. Like,
you definitely did your own catch up, okay. like while you were gone, because I was fully in.
So yeah, as we're telling this whole story, like we are watching these shows and we're like bantering back and forth. Man, it is amazing. We're like, you know, Ellie's, you know, coming over, you know, flying down, and we're just hanging out at home, watching Netflix or catching up on shows, just catching up with life. It's like all this is going on. And then just being such fans of the show, pandemic hits, and so many people get into podcasting, which is amazing. Like there's such a big community for podcasting that we just got pulled into it. Mm-hmm. And like, we're the same as anyone viewing at home. We're just talking our shit, watching the show, these shows, having opinions. And we're like, let's record this and put our thoughts out there. And I think we're just so thankful that our little community, I think, tends to be very positive. Like we mm-hmm. talk our shit on the show and all that stuff, but at least as a whole, it's a very positive community.
We're so thankful for all of you. And on the topic of podcasts, I figured we could kind of talk about what we are personally listening to. So, of course, like me and Leon always listen to everyone's reality TV podcast in the car. And then while we're cooking or gaming or anything like that, when we're doing activities together, we always have a podcast on. So this is an addition to that. So currently right now, I mean, all the classics of our community. Shout out to you. But in addition, I love the Best Friends podcast with Nicole and Sashir. Highly recommend. Always a good time, good vibes. They just kind of talk about their day and their week. And I mean, there's topics every week that they cover, but it's a good podcast. I'm also listening to Sounds Like a Cult. Just because, you know, I'm always going to love a good cult story.
Their podcast is really interesting. Again, a little plug there for Sounds Like a Cult. They do so much research, and at least from what I can gather from listening, but they also have guests on there for each topic.
Like experts in that field.
It's a really fun listen, and it's almost like all these thoughts you've always had about anything. I mean, literally just anything. It could be a church, MLMs, like whatever. And you're like, that sounds like a cult. And it's like, it's so perfectly dialed in to their audience. So big shout out to them.
And how about you? What are you listening to these days? Along with, of course, our lovely reality TV.
Yeah, I won't bore anyone with any like super techie podcast. But yeah, like as Ellie said, you can literally pick any podcast in the realm of reality TV as far as the shows we watch. Mm-hmm. Like we listen to everyone's podcast. Yeah. Like I want to say all the time, but like anytime we're doing an activity, it's on the background.
Yeah.
But two that I do want to highlight that I think I've just been listening to for a really long time. One is called the Nerd Soup podcast, and Nerd Soup has a YouTube channel and you can find them on any podcatcher. They don't post frequently, but they're a crew out of, I think it's New York or New Jersey, but they just cover more of like, not so much pop culture, but like shows, movies, outside of the realm of reality TV, right? Something like Game of Thrones, like they might cover Game of Thrones or any type of like really big movie, like obviously Dune Part 2. So they'll kind of give their thoughts and feedback of what they thought about either a show or a movie. And I find it really interesting, and they have a really good, you can tell they're friends, right? When you're listening to the pod. And I really appreciate that when you can kind of feel that relationship within a podcast. And then the last one, okay. It's amazing how like one comment can make someone like go off the deep end, but like it was a comment about like finance, and someone was like, honestly, I don't think I'm the person to train you or teach you, but I literally read this book and it answered so many questions for me. And that was the comment. And I thought, wow, let me check out that book. And I'm not going to plug the book, but you're going to tell by the name of the podcast. But by reading this book, it answered so many questions for myself, because I'm like, man, am I doing things right? And I'm like, definitely was not. But this podcast is so good for so many reasons. And I want you, if you know their name, to shout out the essentially TikTok version of this that you always link me to. So the podcast is I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit. He did a Netflix, like not a special, but a very short season. And he also has a book, but he essentially takes couples. For the most part, it's actually couples, which is really interesting. For the most part, it's mostly couples and just goes over their, I believe it's CPS, and kind of just breaks down like what their expenses are and like where their money's going. And he's all about like literally spend money on what you love and like don't spend money on all the other bullshit. So it's really fascinating. Even this is almost like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that. Like, you know, spending money on that. But it's almost like back to reality TV where you're kind of like judging / putting your opinions on a thing. It's like, I get the same reaction out of this finance show.
We're watching this finance show and we're like going in. Like, we binged it. Is that weird?
And I wonder if there's more than one person that does this. I don't know his name. I apologize profusely. I'm so sorry. But there's this gentleman, I believe it's on TikTok. I think he does YouTube shorts as well. But he'll basically be interviewing someone and his reactions to like their responses to some of his financial questions is wild. Because he's like, I know where your money is going. Look at your like $1,500 car payment. Like, what? Yeah. So that's what I've been getting into a lot lately.
Again, we're just podcasters that love podcasts. So I'm going to listen to anything I can get my hands on.
You know what's wild? Even podcasting as a whole, I think has like, it's just exponential. Mm-hmm. It's like, I remember being in high school. This is so funny. I had an iPod Touch and like, even in high school, I listened to podcasts. Like, I would listen to tech podcasts. Like, one I still remember is this, I think it's This Week in Tech or This Weekend. I think it's This Week in Tech. And I think it was Perillo, I think, might be one of the hosts. I can't remember. It's been years since I've listened to this podcast. Like, I haven't listened to it in over 10 years. But I remember listening to that. They were so consistent, always talking about tech, whether it's like a phone drop or whatever. But now there's just tons and tons of podcasts about technology or video games or obviously now reality TV, like anything. But it's amazing how I'm sure there weren't that many high school kids way back then listening to podcasts. But now it seems like everyone has a podcast, their podcast, yeah. Which is really amazing to considering it's not visual.
But it's so nice.
You know, some people have a visual presence, whether it's on YouTube or some other platform. Mm-hmm. But it really is, it's amazing that it's so huge and it's not visual. I think that's really incredible.
Going back just real quick, we talked about MySpace earlier. What did you have a MySpace profile song?
Back then I was into a lot of rock, so it was probably some rock song or something.
I remember mine being by Papa Roach for a while, but I don't know what song or anything.
Isn't it amazing? You used to be able to like edit your homepage or like grab somebody's like theme from the internet and like, which honestly now looking back at it is probably just like HTML and CSS code.
Yeah.
And like, you're just copying and pasting their theme.
I would be so rich if I just kept doing that. I'm just saying, I could be in tech as well if I just kept with it. I would like look up the codes for certain colors.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh no, I would just copy and paste someone's theme.
No, I am customizing every single thing on there.
By the way, it's also just amazing that they allowed you to do that. I mean, I guess they do now, but it's very like bland, like pick the color palette of your whatever.
You can't pick anything like that on Instagram and stuff.
No, not on those platforms, but more so like customize your Google Chrome experience. You know, things like that.
That's not fun.
But it's so basic compared to like MySpace, like nah, like deck out like this whole page.
Yeah, I'm looking at specific HTML color codes, if that's even what they're called, and backgrounds and songs and widgets and all of it. When we first started podcasting, we did, what was it? We did 90 Day Fiancé and kind of that universe mostly. And then I believe we started with Sister Wives season 15. And that really stuck because not only did we have like the most listeners, but we were like so fascinated and it let us go back to a show that we watched so long ago. So we thought, oh, perfect show to cover. And as we kind of have moved on from the kind of the 90 Day universe, covered Married at First Sight, we've seen every episode, every season. So right now, those are our two main shows we cover. Open to expanding, of course. But I bring that up because part of kind of podcasting and loving the shows and everything like that is being a part of the community online. And so I do frequent the Reddit boards and Instagram and like essentially everything. I want anything Sister Wives, any little nugget I want. So we posted on Reddit and it had great responses.
When was this, by the way?
8 months ago.
Okay.
So the title is, what item would you get into a bidding war over? And the details are, if for some reason items at Cody and Robin's house were being auctioned off, what would you go for?
I don't remember what my first response to this was.
I do have it.
But I remember...
because I put it in the post.
Okay, because I remember you were like, that's a great one. But I think honestly, if I was being more pragmatic, I'd do something like the motorcycle.
Oh, that's not as fun.
It's not as fun, but it's like I can use the motorcycle.
Okay, but your answer for Reddit was the infamous portrait of Cody with Robin's kids. The hand-drawn Photoshop.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a really good one.
That's a good one.
Where would we put it in the house?
Oh, that's... you put it in the closet. You don't...
oh,
you
just
don't,
put it in our bedroom.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No?
You are not advertising that. No.
Let's just put it like...
that's some weird-ass energy to put out.
Let's put it on the stairs. So that when people come upstairs, they're like, who is this family?
They're like, they were the prior tenants of this house. That's even... no, that's just too weird.
All right. So I figured we can go through a few of them. Do you stick with that or do you have a new answer?
No, that's the one.
The number one response is a phone that shows the gift exchange text. Great answer.
Wow. Wow.
The next person said that sexy picture of Robin and Cody by his car. Literally no real reason why, though.
Let me take it back just a little bit. I do wonder if the Browns, because they're not used to confrontation, if it's really not that bad. People just got offended very easily.
It's weird.
No, it is.
You know it's weird.
It is, but I feel like the texts themselves would just not be...
oh, wait. Are we talking about the picture or the text?
The text. The text.
Oh, I think the texts were really bad.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, you have people saying, like, we can never come back from this, that, like, Gwen went in. Like, yeah, it was bad. Robin vowing to, like, never talk to anyone again.
I'm sure a lot of that stuff backfired big time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The sexy photo is gold.
So weird.
That
so
was a great one. That was a great one. It is interesting because they're so conservative, like... putting on a heel with a jean is like the sexiest thing that can be thought of. It's
well, I mean, very intimately on the car. Remember, they fell in love in that car.
Oh,
gross. Oh. Gross. The next person said, I'm going to take those mini bikes that have never and will never touch the dirt at Coyote Pass.
Which is wild. They did.
They did eventually. They did. At least once. The person continues and says, I'll be over to pick them up with my finest pair of moving gloves.
Man, shout out to the moving gloves. I'm surprised nobody mentioned just Cody's box of moving gloves.
The one in Christine's rental, just the box of gloves. Oh, this is a good one. A box full of Cody and Robin's tax returns from the last 15 years.
Oof. Great one. Ooh, another one would be... since we're talking about bidding wars, you remember how downstairs we had a scene where it showed all those boxes?
Yeah.
It's like a surprise pack. You don't know what's in the box.
Oh, I would love that.
But you're just bidding on it. Surprise package.
I would love that.
Might be kids' clothes. Might be 15 tax years returns. Of
taxes. We don't know. I had a joke back in the day about how I wish Solomon or Ariella would like... have a day where they went live and just showed us what's in the boxes. Like, mad at their parents for some reason. They're like, bam, let's go through these boxes. We're live right now.
You know how McKelty's still close to them?
Yeah.
She'd probably be, and she has, I think she has a Patreon.
Yes.
She would be the closest chance we get to like, just go down there and open some boxes.
I would pay big money. The next person said that they would want the giant geodes that they have. If you remember, Robin had them on the floor, the big purple ones.
Oh, why don't I not remember these?
Oh, lots of great sleuthing online for exact costs and where these were probably bought from.
Well, it was already confirmed that they have like super expensive paintings.
Yes.
Like, I mean, if you could bid and somehow catch people on paying super low for it, that would be pretty a logical one there. So you could resell the painting.
Oh, this one's so good. And I might want this too.
A stack of vitamins.
No, that would be useful. The ridiculous chairs with the super high backs. No. Those are classic. Why did we walk by a restaurant recently that had those, but not as obnoxious? And I was like, we have to go in. I need to sit on one.
Okay. We just did a walkthrough of IKEA. Now, everyone has their own style. That's cool. But honestly, for the most part, I could get down with pretty much anything at IKEA. I could never, not that these chairs are from IKEA, but I could never get down with these chairs. How huge. In your right mind were you like, these are the ones? You know what they did? They went to, I think in Utah, they have a store.
Consignment
no,
shop.
No, they have a store called, I think it's called Deseret Industries, the DI. I think it's like a Goodwill, but more barely fancier. I can totally see these chairs being one of those pickups.
Maybe. Someone said Ari's pacifier.
Oh no. Oh no.
Deep cut.
That's a weird cut.
Okay, I'm only gonna do a couple more. But the next person said a toss up between one of Janelle's cowboy items, the cowboy boots, you know, or something from Mary's Americana craft room.
Okay. No, I wouldn't take anything in there. No.
No?
Nah, I'm good.
Oh, this person continues on and says, my first instinct was to say the Fajita Cantina sign, but we all know that would rightfully go to Corey and Carly of Surviving Sister Wives podcast. And that is correct. I hope that is in a storage unit. Like, they still own it for some reason.
Could you imagine?
I can, actually.
That's wild. That's wild.
Oh, and we'll end on this fire. Robin's Purity Locket. Hell yeah.
So good. Such great responses. That was a really fun poll.
Such a good thread. Because people are like, no, that's mine. Like, the comments are great. Man, anything else?
No, it's been a really cool 3 years. Excited for what the future has in store for us. Maybe new shows we'll cover. Who knows?
Thank you so much for listening. Let's see where this next year takes us, and we hope you stay along for the ride.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you all soon.
Take care.